Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Talking all things Florida Gators spring football with our good friend Neil Shulman, inallkindsofweather.com, does a fantastic job covering the Gators great follow on social media as well. Neil, what's going on, man? I appreciate you taking the time.
Always good to chop it up, man. First time we've been collaborating on content since your rebrand. Congratulations on that. Looking forward to talk Gators on a non-just South Carolina platform.
Indeed. Hey, this is all about the Florida Gators, man. Like I said, spring football is in the air. Big year upcoming for Billy Napier in 2024. That's putting it lightly, right? An important year three. What's been the vibe in Gainesville? Because obviously it's always excitement in the air, anticipation building. But anytime you're coming into a year like this where it really feels like for Billy Napier, win or there will be changes, I got to think there's a little bit extra attention to detail. There's a little bit extra motivation. What have you felt? What have you seen? What have you heard in regards to that intensity in spring ball with that looming, if you will?
I mean, different people that I talk to have different sorts of feelings and vibes. I guess that's just a case of individuals will differ, but the general consensus seems to be that the team does now have talent. We just need to see it happen on the field in the fall. And, you know, spring obviously isn't going to solve that. Spring ball, really, if you're not like a considerable powerhouse like in Alabama or Georgia or an LSU, spring ball isn't really going to tell most of the fan base a whole lot about what you have. Maybe a name pops up here or there, but it doesn't always translate onto the field in the fall. So I think at this point, really, it's just don't get injured, right? We need to keep the team healthy. We've seen seasons get derailed like that before. 2013, a good example of that. Florida went 4-8 under Will Muschamp after having a lot of spring injuries. And also just looking for other playmakers to step up at different positions, which I'm sure we'll talk about more. But, I mean, I think it's just really – I wouldn't even say positivity or negativity at this point for the middle 80% of that like 10-80-10 scale. It's more just, let's just see what happens in the fall.
Neil, you mentioned playmakers stepping up, and we'll start on the offensive side of the football. You lose Ricky Pearsall. He was a big one. Eugene Wilson is back, but who are some other guys that maybe you've heard that are making names themselves that Graham Mertz and company will be able, it looks like at least, will be able to depend on this season?
Yeah, so Aiden Mizell, I think, is the one that I'm hearing the most. I mean, I mentioned I talk to different people and I get different opinions and thought processes and input. Aiden Mizell's name comes up a lot from these different people. These are different people that do different things that are all coming together to say, hey, Aiden Mizell is balling out. So that's one I tend to put a lot more stock in than the outlier than the outliers I maybe get. But aside from him, I would say that Arliss Boardingham has also been coming along at the tight end position. I think he's someone that's going to be something of a security blanket, especially if the offensive line can't really protect like they could not do last year. Those two guys plus Eugene Wilson, I think, would make for a pretty strong top three pass catching combo. Obviously, Boardingham, a tight end, but I mean, Mizell's ability to take the top off of defense with his speed is something that you can't really teach. You just gotta recruit good athletes on defense to stop. The problem with him before was that he didn't have the body, he didn't have the bulk. He has it now. He's bulked up for sure under new strength and conditioning leadership this offseason. And I think that with that additional muscle mass plus that natural speed he's got, and then of course the overall good hands he has, he could develop into a bona fide deep threat this year. Boardingham would be just the, I don't ever want to compare someone to Kyle Pitts, but he could be the best tight end we've had not named Kyle Pitts in probably a decade if he continues to take the strides that I've been hearing he's been taking this year.
Yeah, Boardingham was very, very good late in the season last year. Excited to see how he develops in that offense. Speaking of, we'll stick with the offense. Neil, I don't think it's any secret. This is Graham Mertz's football team, especially after last year. I thought the toughness he showed late last year was incredible. I mean, a guy that most notably I ranked, and many others did as well, but I ranked the 14th best signal caller coming in the year, and he quickly squashed that. And he did so much to a point, Neil, where I put out a midseason quarterback rank. He said, like, we got to rectify this. We got to fix this immediately. So Graham Mertz comes in, I think, top half the league SEC signal caller. This is his team. But DJ Lagway is the guy, of course, the highly talented signee, catching a lot of the headlines, I'm sure, a lot of the attention. How much of that excitement for Lagway is because of the – you know, you see the progression, you see the talent, and it's excitement for he's the guy of the future? Or is there maybe excitement because he could factor in and be a playmaker and somebody who helps Florida win football games this year?
First of all, you did not have to put yourself on blast there for the preseason rankings, because that was before your rebrand.
I know. But here's the thing: I was being objective even there. It wasn't even like a shot at Florida. I drank the anti Graham Mertz Kool-Aid, so we'll not make that mistake again.
Poison.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, I was gonna say you have a clean slate now as the SEC unfiltered guy, but no, I mean there's no denying DJ Lagos' talent. The things that he can do are things that all of us wish that we could do when we were his age. But obviously there's going to be a learning curve because he is a 17, 18 year old kid. That's going to happen for anyone, no matter how highly touted they are. And if they come in and they do become a Heisman Trophy favorite as a true freshman, then that's the anomaly. You can't really bank on that. So for that reason, as you just mentioned, yes, it is Graham Mertz's football team. I do envision a scenario where maybe late in the season, like if the season's really come off the rails, Florida could just say, and maybe Graham Mertz is hurt or something. Maybe then it becomes DJ Lagway's team. That's it. That's the only scenario I think in which this is not Graham Mertz's football team. Because like, you know, as you said, in the midseason, you saw the way he played, the way he developed the timing with his receivers. Obviously losing Pearsall is going to hurt him in that respect. But a guy like Mizell could come in and just be that deep threat. I heard reports initially from spring practice that Mertz didn't know what to do with Mizell's speed, was the quote I got from someone who texted me that. It's like, he literally does not know what to do with his speed. It's like, sometimes he's overthrowing him, sometimes he's underthrowing him. He's never played with a receiver this fast. So he's adjusted to that before, because I don't think he'd ever played with a guy like Ricky Pearsall, who could do all the things Ricky Pearsall could do. He learned how to do it. He adjusted and he had a great season, almost became a 1,000-yard receiver last year. So I think that is going to help him become and maybe more proficient in the stat sheet. I think that he might also want to learn when to maybe up the risk factor by like 5%, because obviously you don't want to force balls. You don't want to throw late over the middle. You don't want to, you know, get forced by throwing a ball like into triple coverage. Stuff like that obviously is never going to be something you encourage him to do, but he might want to learn to say like, hey, it's 3rd and 13. You have single coverage, maybe launch that deep ball, see what happens. If it's picked off, whatever, you threw a punt stuff. And you know, upside, Aiden Mizell uses his speed to beat the defender and makes a 60-yard touchdown catch. So maybe some things like that are some things that people that I talk to want to see him do differently, but he wasn't the reason Florida lost 7 games last year. And if the Gators are going to make a real run this year at anything more than just being another 4, 5, 6 win team, it's going to be because of him.
Neil, let's switch sides of the football to the defensive side. It was a mixed bag for Florida last year. You're now down Princely Umon Mielen, who went to Ole Miss. What's the latest you're hearing from spring football about the progression of that side of the ball? Again, it was a mixed bag. So there was some good, there was some bad, there was some ugly, there were reasons to be encouraged, also reasons to have concern. What's the latest you're hearing on how that group is coming along?
Yeah, well, my first take on the defense, if I say nothing else about them, I have a suspicion that that the coaches who were let go and Sean Spencer and Corey Raymond were made the scapegoats for a number of other factors, not the least of which was the injury to Shamar James at linebacker, because I just find it very hard to believe that both of those guys coached all these All-Americans at Penn State and LSU respectively, and then just mysteriously forgot how to coach when they came to the University of Florida. No, I don't buy that. Sorry. But I do think that sometimes there is something to be said for just having a new voice, just having something different than the last couple of years, even if it's not that different, like temperamentally or even philosophically, just having a different voice. Like, you and I have physically different voices. Like, that's how the biology works. Maybe there are some neurons that fire differently or something. I don't know, but something had to change. That was indisputable. And I think that these new guys, while the coaches that they replaced, I think had very strong pedigrees and were certainly qualified to do the jobs that they did, I think that having these new guys was a burst of new energy for the Gators. A guy like Will Harris comes in. The fact that Xavier Felsame even entertained staying with Florida after his guy Corey Raymond left, I think was a major testament to him. Like, he decided, you know what, I'm probably going to flip to Texas. Like, after Corey Raymond left, And even as the news was kind of filtering in that maybe they're going to be staff changes, he was like, all right, I'm out. I'm going to Texas. But the fact that he even entertained Florida was because of Will Harris, because he had that energy, he had that intensity, and it shows in practice. I mean, there are clips circulating on Twitter and Instagram about how he gets involved in the tackling drills. Like, he holds the board up with a lot of energy. He's not just like, you know, hold it up, like, pretend this is a board. He's like, hold it up. No, he's like pushing guys, like, hey, come on. And then he'll chase them down like 15, 20 feet, like, hey, come on, hit me. There's something about that that just seems like, you know what? I don't know that Corey Raymond didn't have that, but that looks like something that you want to see from spring practice. And the guys do appear to be responding to it well. And that's for Gerald Chapman, too, on the defensive line, both of them.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Neil, let's talk about special teams. That's not normally something I'm bringing up with folks, and we're talking spring ball, but when you've had as many issues as Florida's had with special teams, is there anything that you've heard or anything coming out of spring practice that gives you any reason to believe that that will not be such an eyesore this year?
Not particularly.
Not as much as you'd like, right?
Well, I mean, you can't exactly ask the people that, like, I talked to, hey, did we learn how to substitute correctly? Were all the guys, or was there only one of each jersey number on the field at one time for every single play? Like, no, you can't weed that out. But I'll believe it when I see it mode, because it's been bad for 2 years. There was a change. We did bring in Joe Houston. There's still not an on-field special teams coach, which I have to believe could, if nothing else, have prevented the two most critical special teams errors, the double jersey issue against Utah last year, and then the snap infraction malfunction because we ran on the field way too soon against Arkansas, which pushed what would have been the game-winning field goal attempt back 5 yards. Those two things don't happen if there's an on-field special teams coach who is in charge of nothing other than making sure that those kinds of things don't happen. So that still hasn't been addressed. We used the other staff spot that we had on a second offensive line coach, Jonathan DeCoster, from the Cleveland Browns, who I do think is a perfectly qualified coach. But the fact that you don't have that need addressed. Like, I'll go back to the South Carolina game. I mean, you see the frustration point with me. I'll go back to the South Carolina game 2 years ago, where Florida just absolutely blows the doors off South Carolina, which is what people remember from that game. What people may not remember is that Florida had a kick blocked, a field goal blocked, an extra point blocked. They failed to get the snap off. They failed to get the hold down for another field goal attempt. They had a bad snap on still another attempt, and they gave up, I think, a 42-yard punt return to Juice Wells. And at the end of that punt return, there was a nice face mask that you just sling the guy down by for another 15 yards. That game alone should have been the trigger point for Billy Napier to go, okay, no. It hasn't. It still hasn't been addressed.
There was also a fake punt touchdown pass in that game. That was the only point. That was the only point South Carolina scored in that game.
Kai Kroger fake punt, where after a timeout that Florida called, by the way, which we took a nap after we called a timeout to wake up. So, right. That's the thing where I go, you know, Billy, And then the very next week, you lose the game to Vanderbilt because your punt returner fields a punt in his own end zone, which is the Cardinal sin of football. So, like, the fact that happens in back-to-back weeks and you still don't have an on-field special teams coach, I mean, I'm not going to make the declaratory statement on Billy Napier right now. I'm not going to definitively say, you know, he fails or succeeds. But I'm just going to say, look, you don't get to have me give you the benefit of the doubt right now. Like, the burden is on you to prove me wrong after seeing all that. So short answer is I'll believe it when I see it.
So Neil, I feel like you speak for a lot of Gator fans. And when I say that, I'm really saying I sense your frustration. And I think you probably echo a lot of those in orange and blue. And speaking of orange and blue, the orange and blue spring game is upcoming. The reason I point that out, though, your frustration is that when your coach is on the hot seat and you're not winning the way you want to, things that for maybe some other programs or when you are winning that are little things, like, for example, the spring game, like, oh, it's just the spring game, whatever, no big deal. It is a big deal, right? When things haven't been going well and you're looking for reasons for optimism, and especially it's a big deal after what happened last year, when I think we all know what Billy Napier was trying to do, give the defense this confidence, give his young defensive coordinator. But when you got Lane Kiffin trolling you on social media when the spring game is 7-3, how important would you say it is for Florida to just have a normal spring game? Like, not a spring game that is notable to a point where they're being trolled for it.
I mean, important in the eyes of who? Like, social media losers, or like the average fan, or coaches on, or like,
I guess just the fan base. I mean, I'm sure the fan base wants something to feel good about.
Well, sure. I mean, we would like a bowl game because who knew that wouldn't be a sure thing after last year? But I mean, no, I think spring games are kind of like pick your poison. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. You have a 42-38 shootout. Well, the defense sucks. You have a 10-7 slugfest on the defense like we had last year. Oh, the offense is going to be in for a terrible year. Like,
I think that's where a lot of the anti-Graham Mertz stuff came from, honestly, was that spring game, which is crazy to think about, but
there were people who didn't want to take him from Wisconsin. I remember that portal recruitment process too. I think that's where it originated from a lot of people. But no, like, I don't know how you really define normal aside from like don't have a plane crash in the middle of the field mid-game. I would say no injuries. You don't want anyone to, you know, start a fight with the other team because they're actually your teammates in the fall. Guys are going to get heated, but you'd rather not become like a full-scale brawl like Tennessee last year. I would just say I would hope for guys to put good tape out. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, don't drop passes, don't miss assignments, block, you know, control the right gap, don't badly strike out on a tackle, don't fumble the ball, stuff like that. As long as the majority of the starters don't have any glaring mistakes, I guess I would consider that normal and non-troll worthy. But I mean, it was a Gamecock, know how that works. It's going to get trolled one way or another. So at this point, I'm used to it. It's just a matter of how.
And Neil, you led me to my next point, because I was going to ask from this orange and blue spring game. Again, to your point, you take it with a grain of salt. It is at the end of the day a glorified scrimmage, but are there any particular things you want to see? Maybe it's particular players, or just things you're looking for, things that you feel like this fan base wants to see from the spring game?
Yeah, I mean, I would say obviously the number one thing, again, no injuries. That is the absolute worst time to lose someone. I mean, we've already lost Miles Graham for the whole spring because he got injured earlier in the spring. So the last thing you want is like an ACL tear. But to answer the question, to give you more names, I would say Aiden Mizell, you know, the guys I've been hearing about, like LJ McCray, 5-star freshman signing. I heard reports that are kind of conflicting as to when he started looking as great as he does now. Some people say, yeah, I always knew he had this. Some people say, well, it took him a little bit longer. He had a little longer learning curve than I maybe would have thought. But consensus now is he's getting there. So I want to see him take the next step. Also looking for sophomores, just the true sophomores who were part of last year's freshman class. Mizell, one of them, obviously. McCray would be a freshman, but guys like Kelby Collins stepping up into a larger role. He took his lumps as a freshman. He did some good things. TJ Searcy, another one. He did a lot of good things last year. I love his hustle. I love his drive. some plays were better than others on tape. Look to see him put more good game tape out there. And yeah, again, just to reiterate, no injuries, because that's the only way you can truly lose a spring game.
What about DJ Lagway? Anything you want to – I mean, he's the guy of the future, right? Even if he doesn't play a lot this year, I'd have to imagine Florida – I mean, heck, I'm excited as someone that's, you know, following Florida football. Now, I'm excited to see what DJ Lagway looks like.
I mean, of course, you're looking forward to seeing what he can do. But it's – because you can't really –
You know the overreactions are going to happen. They're going to happen one way or another.
Yes, that. And also because you know that it's illegal to just nail him like you could in a real game, just to level him. It's like semi on air with his routes. So like maybe the psychological factor is what keeps him from going off in a spring game to having a true Heisman Trophy season on the field in the fall. But because you know that like guys aren't going to hit you, you might suddenly have more confidence in stepping up and, you know, doing your fundamental things, right? Like stepping into the throw, you know, maybe taking off for, wow, a 75-yard touchdown run when you know guys can't hit you. So I'm looking forward to seeing the accuracy of his throws. Beyond that, I kind of need to see it in the fall. I've learned that. I've been burned too many times at that in spring games, most notably with Felipe Franks. So wait and see with that. But yes, definitely excited for his future for sure.
Neil, the spring game giveth and the spring game taketh. But you know what? When it's April and we're starving for football, it's the best we got. So we'll do with it what we can. Neil Shulman in allkindsofweather.com. Again, guys, does a fantastic job talking all things Florida Gators. They're all over social media. Neil, always a pleasure, my man. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate you taking the time and definitely looking forward to doing it again soon. And try not to lose your marbles too much watching Kevin O'Sullivan and the boys try to navigate through the season, man. It'll be okay.
Yeah, I think that we've kind of expect that with baseball. It is what it is. I mean, look, I got my national championship in 2017. We were in the finals last year. Down years are bound to happen. So Hopefully we just get to enjoy a few more Cags homers. Watch him chase history, by the way. Fun fact, Matt LaPorta has the career home run record for the Gators with 74. Cags is tied for second at 57. He has work to do, but it's not impossible. It's not implausible that he could go on a tear and catch up with him. So if nothing else, Gator fans, there is that piece of history to check out.
Neil, you're the man. We'll do it again soon, man. I appreciate it.
Always appreciate your time, Chris.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.